Amen. All right. Well, hey, I don't know if you guys have been keeping track, but I have. Did you know that I've been here now for over 7 years? Yeah, you can cry if you'd like, or clap. I don't know what you're going to do. And I get it. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. The peas done slid out of my casserole a long time ago. Talk to my wife. She'll verify that. The cheese slid off my crack. I get that. And maybe it's taken me 7 years, but after 7 years being here, I'm starting to think that you guys think that I got a problem with chicken. Right? It took me a while to figure that out. But I don't know. You want to call this Intervention Sunday or whatever. But folks, you pro-chicken eaters out there, you're the one with the problem. Okay? And I got proof, okay, that it is not only a serious addiction problem. I got proof it's even affecting your Sunday worship. Yeah, watch this.
It's happened to all of us. As soon as you wake up, you're hit by that deep, intense craving. So you jump in your car and you drive to the nearest Chick-fil-A only to realize it's Sunday. For the rest of the day, you struggle to cope with the symptoms of irritability, anger, and depression as you try to curb those cravings with inferior chicken and fries. Now there's relief. Introducing Chickaderm, the patch that's guaranteed to curb your Chick-fil-A cravings for 24 hours every Sunday. Just one patch is equivalent to one chicken sandwich or an 8-count of nuggets. Just peel, stick, and say goodbye to those pesky chicken cravings. Look, now I'm wearing a party tray.
Chickaderm is available over-the-counter at most retailers.
I think I'll survive till Monday. Thanks, Chickaderm.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah, turn to somebody and say, pass the Chickaderm patch, the whole box. Some of you. I know you're out there, okay. But believe it or not, folks, they're not the only ones, those people who need Chickaderm patches, who are blind to the dangerous behavior they're involved in life. Believe it or not, the Bible said these people are too. Let's take a look at those people, unfortunately. This is what we see, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. First of all, he says, you must understand that when in the last days, what would happen? Scoffers would come. We don't have that, do we? Yeah, all over the place. Scoffers would come. In fact, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And here's what they're going to say. Have you heard this out there? Where's this coming, he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everyone, thing goes on as it has been since the beginning of creation. You hear that today? Yeah, that's exactly what they say. But he said they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters, also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. In other words, you can scoff all you want, you could ridicule, whatever you're going to do. Hey, folks, it ain't going to change a thing. Judgment is coming again to this planet. And the next judgment that's coming to this planet is called the 7-year tribulation, and it is not a joke. The Bible's very clear, folks. That is the time when God is going to pour out his wrath nonstop, not one, not two, not three, 7 years nonstop. He is going to put an end to all this evil and baloney that's going on. God will have the last word, okay? The Bible says that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, he said it's going to be a time of greater horror than anything has ever seen on this planet or will ever see again. And listen, it's so bad that Jesus said, folks, Jesus said that if God didn't keep it to just 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. Scoff all you want, folks. It ain't going to stop it. It is coming to this planet. But praise God, as we've been seeing, God's not just a God of wrath. He's a what? He's a God of love as well. And he knows this is coming, right? So what's he do? He loves us. And so out there, the last 2,000 years, and some prophecies a lot longer than that, he's been telling us to make sure that we're ready, okay? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue in our study with the final countdown, tribulation rising, okay? And as you can see by the title there, we're dealing with the first sign there, and that is the Jewish people and the Antichrist, okay? And so far, we've already seen the first 9 prophecies concerning the Jewish people, letting us know we are living in that time frame called the end of times or the last days, and that was the signs that Israel would return to the land, they would become a nation again, they become a nation again in one day, they would become a united nation with the tribes coming back, Israel would recapture Jerusalem, their currency would return to the shekel, they'd have a rebirth of the Hebrew language, they would blossom as a rose in the desert, and last time, if you were here, we saw that Israel would what? They would become a light unto the nations. You got to understand this one, folks. This is the prophet Isaiah nearly 2,800 years ago said, and you put it in his context, little bitty, teeny, tiny Israel, a speck on the world scene. He says, believe it or not, They are going to become a major source of blessing to the planet, okay? And it's all going to be a sign from God. And we saw they're already doing that there, as you can see, through science, through medicine, through agriculture, energy, consumer goods, entertainment, TV, games, computer industry, you name it, Israel is involved in it. Against all odds, little teeny tiny insignificant seemingly, Israel is a major source of blessing, a light to the nations, exactly like God said would happen, all right? Well, Pastor Tom, I'm still up here preaching on it, so guess what? There's got to be more. Give it up for the prophet, Pastor Tom, there. And there is. That's right, folks. The 10th sign we're going to take a look at about the Jewish people, shocker, okay, is the Bible says, guess what? They would become a source of what? World conflict. Little teeny tiny Israel, the whole world is going to be consumed with them because there's so much conflict. Good thing that's not happening. Yeah, turn on your TV, man. This one is happening before our very eyes, okay? But let's go to that text there, Zechariah chapter 12, and let's take a look at this prophecy. This is really cool. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, and a page 1537 in my Bible. That helps you. And 1537, let's take it there. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. But what's he say is going to happen with Israel in the last days? Really, are they going to gather attention? Is it going to be a conflict over there? And, well, just a little bit, okay? But let's take a look at what God's word says. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. This is the word of the who? The Lord concerning who? Israel, says it right there. The Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundations of the earth, and who forms the spirit of man within him declares, I am what? I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends how many? All the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. And on that day when how many? All the nations of the earth are what? Gathered against her. Here's what's going to happen. I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. In fact, listen, all who try to move it will injure themselves. You may be deceived there. But basically, that's God's way of saying don't mess with Israel. Because he's not done with them, as we saw with the unconditional covenants, okay? But basically, God now saying here, he's not just going to bring the people back into the land, the Israelites. He's not only going to make them a nation again and all these other things, be a light unto the nations. He says, believe it or not, at the same time, they're going to be, listen, a major ongoing problem on the world scene, okay, is what's going on there. And again, is that happening? Yeah, and frankly, it's happened ever since their inception, as we saw before, as a nation in 1948. As we saw before, the very next day when they declared their statehood, right, 1948, what happened? Bang, here comes the conflict. The nations around them announced war, and the fighting over there has not stopped since. Okay, I'm going to get into that even more so in a second. But again, this is why a lot of people say, well, there's you guys. The Peter passage, right? At the very beginning. Come on, you guys have been saying Jesus is coming back and there's no sign. Where's this coming that he promised? It's the same thing. You've been saying this for 50 years. Nothing. You want to know you're in the last days? Turn on your TV. Every time you see a Middle East report, Israel, Jerusalem, what's going on? Guess what? God said that's exactly what's going to happen in the last days. There's so much prophecy happening. It's being advertised. But see, people aren't taught prophecy. They don't read prophecy. They don't even read the Bible. And so they don't even realize the significance of what they're watching with their own eyes as we sit here in the sanctuary on TV. Israel one day is going to become an international global problem, okay? Now, some translations are even more blunt than what we just read when it comes to those descriptions there from God. Some translations say, I will make Jerusalem, listen, a cup of trembling is what's used there as well. It also says that they will be a burdensome stone. For all the people, okay? In other words, Jerusalem and the Jewish people are not just one big ongoing problem, but it's going to instill fear in people around the world. It's just, And is that not going on? I mean, do people not legitimately say, and you hear it say all the time, man, the Middle East thing is this and Jerusalem and there, and you got Russia going in there now, and there's Syria, what's there, and then Turkey, and they come in, and then all the Muslim nations are surrounding them, and said, we all know it's going to erupt in World War III. That's the cup of trembling. Whoa. Israel, little teeny tiny Israel, is causing people to fear and tremble today. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Right? But not only that, it said that they would be a burdensome stone to all the people. Okay? You look at a lot of folks today, and on the other hand, if they're not trembling, oh no, World War III, whoa. What are they saying? Oh, come on. Are you serious? When is this ever going to end, man? Israel this and Middle East that. How come these people can't get along? It's a burn some stone. That, too, is happening. Again, how do you know? Turn your TV. It's happening before our very eyes, okay? In fact, the Bible says it's going to get so bad against Israel in the last days. Back to Zechariah, if you continue to read that passage there. I'll bring in a couple more for you. But it says that people are basically going to it says right there, all the nations are going to come against. Praise God that our nation currently, the current administration, is showing some healthy signs. And I'll guarantee you that's helping us out as a nation. But eventually, apparently, according to prophecy, the U.S. is going to jump on this bandwagon. Right? They're going to be left all alone. The nations are going to come against her. Okay? But God says, you better not do that. Okay? He's going to defend and rise up and take care of Israel. Right? Zechariah 12, verse 9 says that on that day, I will set out to destroy how many? All the nations that attack Jerusalem. Zechariah 14, 3. Then the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. God is not done with Israel. You mess with Israel, you're messing with God. Okay? And this is what we see. In fact, you want to see, again, praise God for the current, if you want to call it a reprieve, in the current administration, their attitude towards Israel. Okay? But folks, there's coming a time when basically Israel is going to be left all alone on the world scene. In fact, I don't know if you saw the UN broadcast of Israel's current prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, but he was rebuking the nations represented there in the world at the UN for them sitting there and doing nothing, leaving Israel all alone. And then he not only rebuked them, he stood there in 45 seconds of silence, and they did nothing. I got the clip. Watch this. Okay, this is wild.
Now, after the most inspiring comeback story in world history, after building the most moral and innovative democracy in the entire Middle East, you'd think that Israel would be supported and held up as an example. But we see that the UN, a representation of all the nations in the world, condemn Israel far more than any other country on the planet.
And I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle.
The only country in the world that it's being called, its destruction is being called for by a member state of the United Nations. That its national movement, Zionism, was declared racist and illegal by the United Nations. That its capital city, which is arguably the oldest capital of any country in the world, is not recognized by any country. And there's many, many more points.
Last month, Khamenei once again made his genocidal intentions clear. Before Iran's top clerical body, the Assembly of Experts, he spoke about Israel, home to over 6 million Jews. He pledged, quote, "There will be no Israel in 25 years." End quote. 70 years after the murder of 6 million Jews, Iran's rulers promised to destroy my country, murder my people, and the response from this body, the response from nearly every one of the governments represented here, has been absolutely nothing. Utter silence. Deafening silence.
Then Netanyahu gave them 45 seconds of silence. For years, I've heard that in the last days, Israel would be isolated as a nation. They'd be left alone. And we're seeing it happen. They are a burdensome stone to all nations, as the prophet said. No one wants anything to do with Israel. And we're seeing all the signs of the end of the age around us. The Jews have got Jerusalem back. First time in 2,000 years, 1967, they got it. This is what Jesus spoke of in Luke 21, Matthew 24. These are fearful times. But Jesus said, when these things come to pass, lift up your head and rejoice. And he said, the gospel must be preached. So preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine while we still have time.
But that time is running out. Even that is coming to pass. We're seeing right now the bulk of the nations around the planet are just silent. And they're coming against Israel. They're not there to defend Israel. They're not there to help Israel. Again, praise God for our current administration. But folks, the Bible says this is what's going to happen. Israel is going to be left all alone in the last days. Okay, that's the actual UN clip. Again, being broadcast on TV, prophecy coming alive. Okay, in fact, here's to be our attitude. It's not a time to be fearful. Frankly, for you and I, the Christian, it's a time to get excited. One guy says this. He says, listen, Israel's always pictured as the focal point of world politics in the end times. There's not a day that goes by that Israel is not in the news, right? Okay, the world is very focused on Israel, especially Jerusalem. The world's wondering what to do about the problems between Israel and their neighboring Arab countries and the problems between them too and inside the borders and all that. And in fact, over the past many decades, the United Nations has tried to answer the Middle East problem, and many heads of state have tried to tackle it. In fact, every United States administration since the establishment of Israel in 1948 has made some attempt to resolve the problem, but guess what? Failure and frustration have abounded. The so-called peace process has failed when the subject of who will control Jerusalem is entertained. And it's still going on right now as we're in this sanctuary. And he says this, but stop and think. Isn't it ironic that as large as the world is, as diverse as the world's problems are, right, that there is so much focus on this tiny country? Think about it. At its widest point, Israel is only 85 miles wide. It's only 290 miles long. The population around the world is 7.5 billion. Israel's around 8 million. It's seemingly insignificant compared to the rest of the world, both in size and population, yet Israel remains the focus of not just the United Nations, but nations around the world. The prophet Zechariah prophesied that when the world is convinced that the peace talks have completely collapsed, they will start sending their armies to force peace. This will be the fulfillment of Zechariah 14:2, which states that a day is coming when all the nations will be gathered together against Jerusalem in battle. And when they do, that scenario, listen, will be a setup for the fulfillment of the greatest event in all of human history. It's called the return of Jesus Christ. And what he says is this, he says, praise the Lord. What an exciting time to be alive and to see these things taking place. What's that? You need proof? Just turn your TV. These are the days that we live in, folks. You can sit there and scoff all you want. Where's this? Turn your TV. The signs are there if you know what to look for. It's time to get motivated, folks. All this just means, guess what? Jesus is coming back. Last time I checked, that's best case scenario. Okay? They have become a cup of trembling, a source of world conflict, a burdensome stone. It's happening right now. Now, over the next, Lord willing, few studies, I want to start breaking down why, we know they are, but why are they such a source of conflict around the world? Okay? Well, the first reason is the military aspect, which leads us to another prophecy that God said would be about Israel in the last days. Okay? And that is that Israel would become and have a powerful military. Okay? And this is another one that we see in Zechariah, this time verse 6, right? On that day, God says, I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot in a wood pile, like a flaming torch among sheaves. Okay? They will what? Consume right and left all the surrounding peoples, but Jerusalem will what? God will take care of it. It'll remain intact in her place, okay? But this is another amazing prophecy about Israel in the last days. And again, basically, it's talking about military might, military strength. Yes, God's going to sovereignly protect, but as you can see, they're going to have some abilities themselves, okay? And he begins to describe what's going on there. Now, we saw this a little bit before we had to cut off the study, but what's the interesting thing there is little bitty teeny tiny Israel. It says they're basically, in the Hebrew, anybody that comes against Israel, teeny tiny teeny Israel, they're not just going to win, they're not just going to beat you. What was the word there? They're going to consume all the peoples around them that come against them. As we saw before briefly, it's the Hebrew word akal, and it means this, listen, to eat, to devour, to burn up and destroy. You're not just going to be taken out, you go against Israel. You're going to be swallowed up, burned up, gone, destroyed. Okay? So, hence, scripturally, prophetically, Israel is probably going to have a pretty powerful military. That's really what's going on here, okay? And I love how he describes that as the sheaves, the flaming torch and sheaves. You know what he's talking about? To give a modern vernacular, I grew up in Kansas in the wheat fields, right? They get all dry and crispy, right? And you don't want to be cooking hot dogs next to the wheat field. You know, okay, no. Why? Because, now imagine somebody took a torch and starts running through that wheat field. Woohoo! What's going to happen? First of all, you're going to jail. Okay. But no, what's going to happen? Flaming fireball. Well, that's what's to describe. They're not only going to consume, eat you alive, burn you up, destroy. But it's going to be quick. It's just going to be like fire going through a dry, crispy wheat field. Man, you're done. Israel is going to be that powerful in the last days. They will consume you, okay? Now, we've already seen this in action, right? Anybody in the history of Israel becoming a nation again, anybody that's gone against them, guess what? It rhymes with they lost. In fact, let's say that. They lost. And they didn't just lose. They lose big time every single time. Right? Let me give you a little bit of a historical perspective, okay? As we saw again before, Israel, immediately, they announced their independence, May 14th, 1948. What immediately happened? Right then, the nations around them declared war against Israel. Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Lebanon, they all invaded Israel. The odds at that time, 20 to 1. Israel, 21, and Israel, as we saw the videos before, they didn't have even an established army really at that point. They had guys that just had guns. It's like you and I. What do you got in the closet, Bob? That's what they're fighting against, these nations coming against them, right? And yet they what? They won. And they not only won, they expanded the size of Israel by 50%. The five Arab armies came against them, whoosh, were consumed. I remember Dr. Couch in seminary. He's since gone to be with the Lord. Early on, he was into Christian media way back in the day. And he was over there in some of the wars with Israel. And he said, firsthand account, he was filming in the battles, not from a hotel, in the battles. He says, I can't explain it other than God says he will sovereignly protect Israel. But he said, I saw it with my own eyes. He said, I'd be there with a couple of the IDF soldiers there in Israel. And you look over the hill, he said, there's tanks. And we're just like, oh, no, we're done. And seriously, he said, and he's got the camera on his shoulder, right, back in the day. He said, I kid you not, we go back up the hill. Next thing you know, you hear boom, boom, boom. He says, you look over the hill, they're all gone. They're all taken out. He said that happened time and time and time and time again. Supernatural thing. God's going to take care of them. But they're going to have a powerful military. Okay, well, that was not all. That was from 1948. 1956, there was this Egyptian-Syrian alliance, okay, that came against Israel. Guess what happened? Rhymes with they lost. They lost. And they didn't just lose. They lost big time. 1967, we saw the video with that. Israel was overrun by Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Kuwait, Iraq, Algeria, and Lebanon. And guess what? 6 days later, that's why it called the Six-Day War. It didn't take long. What happened? They got consumed by Israel. And that's when they captured Jerusalem, fulfilling another prophecy. Right? Then in 1973, the Israelites put down yet another conflict coming against them. You may have heard that. That was the Yom Kippur War. Okay. Now, again, for those of you in the South, it's not pronounced Yom Kippur. Okay, I know you want to say that. I used to say that all the time, personally. But it's not Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur. But anyway, and I probably got it wrong. But anyway, listen to this. This in 73, this is the Egyptians and the Syrians coming against them. They've got 1,000 warplanes, 4,000 tanks, 800,000 troops. Oh, but they're not done. Who decided to join them was Iraq, Morocco, Algeria, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Kuwait. They joined the forces. And guess what? It rhymes with they lost. That's right. Hey, you guys are catching on. You seeing a pattern here? Yeah, they lost, and they lost big time. And again, they were totally outnumbered, and yet what did Israel do? Again, they went, whoosh, a call. The Hebrew, they consumed them. Don't mess with Israel, okay? And today, folks, people, secular, even historians and folks, they realize that Israel has the most powerful fighting force in the context of the size of their country on the planet. Okay, and that's not even counting, I'll get into the second, nuclear weaponry. Some say they may even have hydrogen weaponry. Their Air Force, their Navy, the Army, quote, is some of the most advanced in the world. Listen to this, pilot to pilot, airframe to airframe, the Israeli Air Force is, quote, the best in the world. And on it goes. You mess with them in any arena, on the ground, in the air, you're going to be what? Consumed. It's exactly what God said would happen. They've got some of the most advanced military weapons and fighting techniques on the planet. You may have heard of them, the IDF, the Israel Defense Force. Hands down, people saying, man, pound for pound, nobody can match them, okay? And they started with basically nothing. Nothing. Again, they had guys, you saw the pictures, they got like nothing. Some of the guys, after they grabbed all the guns out of the closet, some guys didn't have any guns. That's how their army started. You look at today, folks. I mean, they are training other militaries around the world. They started off with basically 20 tanks, and much of them were completely obsolete. Today, they've got over 3,800 tanks. And, well, actually, that's 30 years later, so that's in the 70s. I don't know what it is today. Their Air Force, listen to this. Their Air Force, they started out with 20 sorties a day. They are now up to 1,850 sorties a day, which is the highest rate in the world. Little, bitty, teeny, tiny Israel. Their Navy grew from basically virtually nothing to a dominant force in the region. And one guy says this, today Israel stands out as the dominant military power in the Middle East. And again, out of necessities, we saw last time with the inventions, guess what? They've invented a lot of new things out of necessity to protect themselves, right? Last time we saw the computers and agriculture. Well, listen to this. They're the ones who invented the bullpup assault rifle. The Uzi submachine gun came from Israel. The Python air-to-air missile, the Desert Eagle, that's a short-range pistol. And listen, they even got something called wall radar. You ain't gonna hide. When they come looking for you, whoosh, they'll get you because they can see through walls. Watch this. This came from Israel. This is cool.
Imagine a new tactical tool. Compact and mobile.
Approaching main objective.
Provides real-time intelligence. The ability to see through walls.
Engage.
It can run, but they can't hide.
Well, why not? Because they're going to consume you. I'm getting a lot of mileage out of that. I've been practicing all week. But that's the tip of the iceberg when it comes to their military. They've also invented something called wound clot bandages. Maybe you saw some shows about that. Amazing thing. It's based on a cellulose, a plant-based material that you put it on the wound, and it helps the body very quickly to coagulate the blood to stop bleeding because they need every single soldier they can get their hands on. They can't afford to lose a single one. Speaking of which, they invented something called the injured personnel carrier to get the folks off the battlefield so that they can get healed up and get back on the battlefield. They also have, you may have heard of it, the Iron Dome air defense system. You try shooting back at them, what's going to happen? You guys want to make the noise? Whoosh, they're going to consume you, right? Watch this. This is that personnel carrier and the Iron Dome defense system.
The Israeli army is one of the most technologically advanced fighting forces on Earth. But when they wanted a new hands-free, one-man method of evacuating a wounded soldier that could replace the fireman's carry and allow them to keep both hands on their weapon during evacuation, the solution was surprisingly simple. The Injured Personnel Carrier, or IPC, attaches in seconds, makes it easier to lift an incapacitated person off the ground, allows you to carry much more comfortably for longer, and gives you a 100% hands-free capability.
What you're seeing here right now is the launcher. Each launcher has 20 missiles on it. You can see the red light flashing, which means it's armed and ready.
Here, one of the dozen or so Iron Dome batteries sits at the ready to intercept missiles and provide Israel with a type of shield from aerial attacks.
I'm the Iron Dome commander.
Lieutenant Colonel Liran Cohen oversees its operation.
Is this as close as we get, or do we get...
This is as close as we get.
It took just 3 years and about $200 million to develop this defense system. It relies on a radar that instantly detects when a missile has been fired. Algorithms quickly try to determine what type of projectile is in the air and whether it's heading for a populated or strategic area. If so, Iron Dome launches a missile of its own. It's said that Iron Dome has taken down more than 1,000 missiles since it turned on in 2011. What's clear, though, is that the algorithm's capable of directing projectiles while performing a cost-benefit analysis on human life are among the most advanced in the world.
Wow. And there's so much more I don't have time to share, but I don't know, you're starting to see all this stuff and you got this dome around. I'd say that anybody that comes against them, what's going to happen? Whoosh. Hey, you know the Hebrew sound. You're going to get consumed, man. Have fun going against Israel. One guy says this: Israel today deploys the most capable ground-based integrated air defense system. Nothing, listen, nothing equivalent exists elsewhere. Right? They're also an effective leader in the space-based surveillance capability. They can provide real-time coverage of what's going on in a wartime arena. They're a world leader in cyber warfare. They also maintain the second largest inventory of precision-guided missiles, okay? And their ground forces, the IDF soldiers, listen, one guy says, I don't think anybody doubts that the Israel Defense Forces are pound for pound the best fighting force on earth. I'm very proud of our own military. And I'm glad that our current administration is beefing up our military. It's about time, right? And you know that I'm a big supporter of our military, personally. I'd hope you would know that. Okay, I think that's just common sense. But can you imagine how much even, I would say, better of an incentive it would be if Mexico and Canada were trying to constantly take us out? Well, that's Israel. And that's added to why they've had to beef up. And these soldiers, man, they're doing it for real. Not that ours aren't, but you understand the context as to why that military has arisen as it is. You don't want to mess with them, okay? Now, that's just some, you know, individual things. When you take a look at the world statistics of Israel, teeny tiny little bitty Israel, okay, comparison as far as the military forces around the world, it's absolutely mind-blowing. Let me share some of those statistics from you, okay? This is from the Global Firepower Military Ranking 2015, right? How does Israel rank? Okay, in military around the whole planet, right? Well, first of all, this is ranked by their military strength. Keep in mind, I'm not talking yet about nuclear capabilities. I'll get to that in a second. This is just their military, et cetera, okay? First of all, number one is us. Woohoo! Proud to be an American. All right, three of you patriots out there, right? Number one, the United States, we got 3.806 million square miles. Of course, number two, Russia, 6.602 million square miles, about twice the size, but they're only number two on the list. Number three, of course, not too shocking, China, 3.705 million square miles. And guess what? A number 11 is Israel with 8,000. Not million. Do you see what's going on here? 8,019 square miles. We've got millions. They got 1,000. You're the 11th most powerful on the planet. And frankly, some reports are more than that. I'll get in a second. They are not only ahead of Australia, Canada, and Mexico. They're 11th out of 136 countries listed. Now, other reports would say that no, they're actually the 7th or 8th most powerful when you take in some other factors. But little bitty, teeny, tiny Israel, okay? Again, one guy says, for its relatively small size, the country has played a large role in global affairs. Gee, I wonder why, right? Now, speaking of this, again, you keep hearing me say, little bitty, teeny, tiny Israel. Let's do the size thing again, okay? Compared to the rest of the nations on the planet, here's what you're dealing with. The state of New Jersey is 8,729 square miles. Again, Israel's what? 8,019. It's smaller than our tiny state, New Jersey. It's just a little teeny, tiny piece of real estate. In fact, 20 and a half Israels can fit in the one state of California. This is how small this is. And yet, you're the 11th, again, some would say 7th or 8th most powerful military on the planet. It's absolutely wild, folks. But that's what God said would happen in the last days. Their total population, about 8.3 million. Their available manpower, if they need to pull them all up, about half their population can be pulled up. Again, that's why they're the largest region on the planet. In fact, in the 2015 rankings, they were obviously number one in the area, then Iran, Saudi Arabia, Syria, UAE, Jordan, Oman, Kuwait, Qatar, Yemen. I think Iraq was like 13th on the list there. Number one power. In fact, they're so powerful, they got so much powerful military, they're a major exporter of weaponry. On top of that, this is why. Watch this one. Of course, we're number one. United States there, 10,194. Russia, 5,971. China, 1,978. Then you got France with 1,200. Germany with 1,110. United Kingdom, 1,083. And who's that? What? Israel. Okay. And notice, look, you're not that far off from the number four spot as a major exporter of weaponry on the planet. It's like you got a surplus there, okay? Just behind France there. Now, again, we haven't even talked about nuclear capabilities. Now, watch this, okay? Little bitty, teeny tiny Israel. Russia's reported to have about 8,000, according to this report, nuclear warheads. We're supposed to have about 7,300 nuclear warheads. Who's three on the list in the world? Israel, with about 400 nuclear warheads. And France got 300, China 250, and the UK 225, according to this report. Excuse me? You could fit 20 and a half Israels in our one state of California. It's smaller than the teeny-weensy state that I've been there several times, New Jersey. And yet you have the third most amount of nukes on the planet. You're the seventh to eighth most powerful fighting force on the planet. I wonder why. Because the Bible says that's exactly what's going to happen. Israel in the last day is going to have a powerful military, and you come against them one more time, whoosh, they're going to consume you. Now, speaking of the nuclear capabilities as we close, some people, when you take a look at what Israel has, not just a powerful military, but all these nukes, the third most on the planet, some people are saying, well, could it be that this is going to show us the fulfillment of a burning, a consuming of what's going to happen to people that Zechariah describes that come against Israel? Let me share it with you, that passage there. This is pretty blunt and it's graphic. And again, you don't want to mess with Israel. But here's what's going to happen to those people. Zechariah 14, verse 12. This is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Again, don't mess with them. Why? Because, listen, their flesh will rot while they're still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets and their tongues will rot in their mouths. Wow. Now, some folks will look at this and they'll say, well, this is just some sovereign act of God, right? Because he is going to protect Israel when all the nations come against her, right? And this is just some sovereign act of God where he sends a supernatural plague and it just melts people's faces off. Now, you know why I said that at the beginning. See, it's supposed to all tie together. It took me all week to figure that technique out. No, but is it? Is that what the melting, you guys remember that scene at the end of Indiana Jones, the first movie? Maybe it'll be something like that. Now, again, if you got kids in here, it's a little bit graphic. You know, it's called the face is going to be melting off now. Okay, so use your judgment, right? But maybe it'll look something like this.
Marion, don't look at it. Shut your eyes, Marion. Don't look at it no matter what happens.
Somebody forgot their chickaderm patch. See what happens when you... No, obviously I'm kidding. But hey, is that it? I mean, what's the text say there? Their flesh will rot while they're still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets. Could be. Could be something like that. I think, me personally, the lesson is, I don't want to be there to find out. Right? I think that's pretty obvious. Okay, and if you're a born-again Christian, you don't have to worry about it. But some would say we take a look at Israel's military, and specifically you take a look at being the third largest holder of nuclear warfare on the planet. What does that sound like to you? Could it be a nuclear holocaust that's happening there? I don't know. Maybe it'll be like that scene, I don't know if you saw it in the Terminator movies, with the nuclear holocaust? Maybe the flesh rotten stuff. Maybe it looks something like this. Again, this is kind of graphic. So, again, use your judgment if you don't want to watch it. Let's take a look. What did Zechariah say? The nations that would come against Israel? You know what's going to happen to you? Your flesh will rot while you're still standing. Your eyes are going to rot in your sockets. Your tongue will rot in your mouth. The days that we live in, folks, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to picture what that would be. I think the point is this. Make sure that you're saved. And make sure that you don't make the mistake of going against Israel, because God will sovereignly protect her. You don't want to mess with her. And folks, this is why Jesus said, when these things begin to take place, what do? Obviously, you freak out. You go buy a piece of property on the hills, dig a well, store up food for 900 years, and become the ultimate survivor. Wrong answer. What's it say? You get excited. What's this mean? Praise God, Jesus Christ is coming back to get us, right? Your redemption is near, okay? And so here's the point. Hey, listen, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I don't know your heart, but God does. Can I tell you something? I have full confidence in this. You know why you're here? Because God loves you, and he's reaching out into your heart one more time, and he's pleading with you. Would you take a look at the signs that had given the planet Earth thousands of years ago? Would you please wake up? Would you please realize that this is coming to this planet, but realize that I love you and I don't want you to be there. That's why I sent my son Jesus Christ to take the death penalty in your place. Receive him before it's too late. Because if you don't, guess what? You could end up one of those people. Your flesh will rot off your body. Don't make that mistake. But as the church, hey, this is a time to get excited. It means Jesus is coming back. It's rapture practice. Woo-hoo! Right? He could happen any moment, right? And when the rapture happens, where are we going? We're going to heaven. Woo! Yeah, it's going to be awesome. That's all part of the wonderful gift that Christ has won for us, right? Okay? And so guess what? God, in the meantime, why are we still here? Because he's not willing that any should perish. So what's he want us to do? He wants us to not get distracted in this world. We're not saved for this world. This is the cursed, messed up version. Hey, we're saved for the world to come. So he wants us to get busy what? Sharing the gospel to as many as we can. Letting them know, praise God, that there's even a way out of what is coming through Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, you look at much of the church today, and their attitude is like this. I thought this was make-believe. Remember the one we saw with the guy playing golf in front of the volcano that was blowing up? Okay, I came across this one, and this one is a guy playing golf, and there's a raging forest fire. And the first thing I thought, oh, that's Photoshop. Somebody's being funny. It's not. I kid you not. This is an actual guy doing this with some other guys. It's a raging infernal forest fire. It was in Oregon, literally flying down the hills. And what's his concern? as his surroundings were on fire.
Got to finish the hole, Bob.
As everything was on, folks, our world is on fire. And it's going to get worse. And as we see the fire, it's not a time to be goofing off and playing golf. Nothing against golf, but that's not the mindset we're to have. It's a time to get busy sharing the gospel. And the closer the flames get, we know that, praise God, we've been rescued from them. But as the closer the flames get, we're to get busy letting other people know there's a way out of the forest fire. That's the mentality we're supposed to have in these last days. Amen?
Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you enjoyed today's study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. Are you sure that if you were to die today that you go to heaven and not hell? Now, before you answer that, let me share with you a couple things that the Bible says. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. We don't deserve to go to heaven when we die. We deserve to go down. We deserve to go to hell. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this problem that we have, that we're separated from God not only now, but we're going to be separated from Him for all eternity in a place called hell. We don't even want to admit that. So, once again, out of love, God gives us what's called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were God's x-ray, if you will, divine x-ray to get us to admit the problem that we have inside that's separating us from Him. Let's take a look at a few of those, of God's divine x-ray. For instance, if you think that you're worthy on your own, you don't need a Savior, you're going to get to heaven all by yourself, then let's take a look at God's test there, the Ten Commandments. The ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That means lying. How many of you have ever told a lie before? Raise your hand. Okay? If you didn't raise your hand, you just told one. But folks, we've all done that. That makes us a liar. The Ten Commandments, God's x-ray, showing us that we have sin that's separating us from Him. We're not holy and perfect like Him. The fifth commandment says this, you shall not steal. Don't ever once take anything without permission. How many of you have ever done that? Well, if we're not going to tell another lie, we should all admit that as well. Well, that makes us a thief now. The Bible says that God is so holy, even His name is holy. And that's why the Ten Commandments says you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And if we're honest again, folks, hey, a lot of us, how many of us have used the blessed name of Jesus Christ? The only name the Bible says under heaven that men might be saved. We've now turned it into a common cuss word, if you can believe that. The Bible says that's the sin of blasphemy. The Bible also says, hey, you want to show God you're so perfect, you have no sin, then don't ever once commit adultery. And you might say, well, I've never done that. Really? Jesus lays the standard before us. God looks at the heart. Man looks on the outside. Jesus said, if you ever looked with lust in your eye at another person, you've committed adultery in your heart. That's His holy standard. One more. The Bible says, okay, you think you're so good? Then don't ever once commit murder. You shall not murder. And you might say, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? The Bible again says that the sin of hatred, wishing someone was dead, is akin to the sin of murder. It's just, if you will, you pull the trigger in your heart. So how are you doing? That's just 5 out of 10 of God's divine x-ray, by the way, showing us the problem. How are you doing? Not if, but when your time comes, we're all going to stand before God. You will be forced to admit what He already knows. Hey, God, let me in. Let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer, an adulterer, and a murderer. And the Bible is clear. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You're not headed to heaven in that state. You're headed to hell. But here's the good news. God said if we would just admit this, number one, then He could fix it. And it gets fixed only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, He says, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and nobody comes to the Father but by Me. Why? Because only Jesus lived the perfect life in our place. And Jesus died on the cross. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be set free. And since we weren't there, and since it's a gift and we can't earn it, we have to receive that wonderful gift by faith. And the Bible says God will pardon us for our crimes, our sins, against Him. And you could actually see this analogy working in the natural, in the normal world. We see this actually in the courtroom. For instance, if a person is guilty and everybody knows they're guilty, they've committed a horrible crime and the sentence has passed, the judge has knocked down the gavel and says, hey, you are going to jail, you are going to the death penalty for that crime. And we know that people, that happens all the time, and they go to jail. But believe it or not, did you know there's a way for that person, even though they're guilty, to actually be set free from that crime? It's called a pardon. And the one in authority, the governor, has the pardon out of mercy, out of goodness. Certainly nothing that that person did in jail. They can't undo the crime. It's too late. But out of mercy, the governor could go down there and grant that person in jail a full pardon for their crimes. And by receiving that pardon, the doors come open and they are set free and they're rescued from the death penalty. Folks, that's what God is doing every single day with us spiritually. He has allowed His Son, Jesus Christ, to take the death penalty in our place. He's pardoned us, but a pardon does you no good unless you reach out and receive it. And it's actually been on historical record that there have been people on death row who a governor has gone down out of mercy and extends to them a full pardon, but they've rejected it. And by their own doing, they went to the death penalty. Folks, don't make that same mistake for all eternity. God loves you. He's willing to forgive you of anything and everything you've ever done, all of it, even the sins we don't even know about. He wants to pardon you and forgive you, but you must receive that by faith today. The Bible says if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you call upon His name, ask Him to forgive you of all your sins, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Please do that now. Please do that today, because tomorrow may be too late. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. Again, thank you for joining us. If there's anything that you need, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our information and number and things will pop up here on the screen here shortly. And remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.